Now I was thinking, man, do I want to sing a song tonight? Or do I just want to? I should have just stopped. But you know what? Here's the thing, man. You two guys right here, you guys said you're just coming back, right? You're still coming around to where God has you or wants you. And that's sometimes you get so weary in this land. This land could take you, can use you, abuse you, shake you up, throw you out, and start all over again on you. But see, there's peace. There's peace where God is. There's peace. He says He's the good shepherd. He leads you by the still waters. He brings you by the plush grass. He's a beautiful father. He's a good shepherd. He don't leave you alone. Even though you go through the valleys of the shadows of death, He'll never leave you alone. You can count on Him. He's faithful. Your mama, your daddy, everybody else might leave you go, might kick you to the curb, but not God. So today, I just want to go to 1 Kings 18:21. Anybody got a Bible? 18:21. I'll just read from here. It said, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. How many here feel like you're in the middle in a decision? You're trying to make a decision about, it could be about God, what He wants you to do, or it could be just a decision that you're trying to make. Everything that you do in this life, it counts and it matters. But this certain time, these people, they were God's people, and they were trying to think, who's really God? Is it Baal, which was a false god? Baal was the weather god. He was over the rain or something like that. He was, and then God was God. He was the God over all the Israelites. And this Elijah, he was a prophet, and he was a prophet of God. He heard from God, and God was telling him to ask people, which side are you on? You on God's side or you on Baal's side? And that's the question, man. I've heard some disturbing things from people who say they believe in God, how they want to take sin and say, well, it's okay a little bit here and a little bit there. Sin's just, but don't get crazy with it. You can be a good person and still make it to heaven. Jesus says, who's good? Who's good? Good teacher. They called Him good teacher. He says, why are you calling me good teacher? There's nobody good besides God. Everybody says, well, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. He knows what I'm all about. But guess what the Bible says about your heart? It says it's evil. In and of itself, it's evil. It just wants what it wants. But God wants you to make a decision. Maybe tonight's the night. He wants you to make a decision between whatever you've been serving to serving Him. And sometimes we say, oh, I'm not serving nothing. Check out what you're doing the most. And that's what you're serving. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Does that mean we're slaves? Yep. We're slaves of righteousness. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. God gave us some things so we could figure out what to do, how to live. He gave us some commandments. Does anybody know the Ten Commandments by heart? You can stand up and tell me, huh?
Sure.
Booker does. Does he?
Yeah.
What's the first one, Booker?
No other God.
Yeah? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What's the second one?
No idolatry.
No idolatry? Well, it's close. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
Yeah. Idolatry.
Yes. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Uh-oh. Ooh, boy. How many of you have taken the Lord's name in vain? I got to raise my hand. I have. Not now. Not now. I have to always do the disclaimer on that because I haven't. Okay, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you keep the Sabbath holy? Check yourself. This is a checklist. Honor your father and thy mother. Number 6, thou shalt not kill. Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 8, thou shalt not steal. Number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That means don't be telling no lies about your neighbor. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. That means don't go over, man, I sure wish I had his house. I wish he died so I can get into that house. You know? But tonight, I want to talk about the word compromise. Do you know what the word compromise means? Does anybody know? It means to accept standards that are lower than is desirable. Romans 4:15, it says, where no law is, there is no transgression of sin. For sin is the transgression of the law. John 3:4. This is God's moral law, that we be like Him. We be in His nature. We be like Him. We act like Him. We talk like Him. We treat people like Him. See, God gave us those Ten Commandments as a guideline, how to live, how to please Him. The first four are appointed to God. Don't take His name in vain. Don't have any other gods before Him. No graven image, right? Then it says, the rest of them are to show us how to act towards each other. How we should act towards each other. Civil law for people. Okay, therefore, man cannot exist without moral law. God formulated laws to guide men, to enable them to enjoy life fully, to save them from evil, and to preserve them for good. Exodus 21. The Ten Commandments law is God's character, and it's written, it's in written form, written so we can comprehend it. Like I said, the first four, our commandments define our responsibilities to our Creator. The last six are foundation of all human civil law. Exodus 20:3-11. The Lord declares, all His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and ever. Psalms 111:7-8. So if you think God's backed off on this stuff, which some have, oh, well, we don't need the Old Testament no more. Wait. Now, Jesus said what? What did Jesus say about that? I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. Not one little semicolon be taken out. That's what Jesus said. So Jesus is the living word. I think He knows what He's talking about, right? And David in Psalms 111 says, your word stays the same. It's sure. It's right. It's right on. Originally, the moral law was given to Adam orally, straight in the garden, and became part of their oral tradition. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, so they knew their father's character. It was a little easier back then, because they knew, they seen the Creator. They didn't need this, because they had God in His form. He'd walk with them in the cool of the evening. He gave them the command. He says, "You can eat from all these trees," didn't he? He said, "Just one." But do you realize there was one tree right beside the tree of good and knowledge, the one that they didn't know about, but God said, "Stay away from it." Right next to it was the tree of life. And they could eat from that all the time. They could eat from that all the time. But no, God said, "Don't eat from it. It's just, we're just like little kids sometimes." And our parents say, "Don't touch that. You're going to get burnt on that." And what do we want to do? We want to touch it. We want to put our finger in the light socket. Huh? See what happens. Romans 2:15 says, "God's law is written on our hearts, the hearts of men." Romans 2:15. So sometimes we say, "Well, man, I don't know what God wants." He said it written on your heart. That's what His word says, not me. It also says, then in Hebrews 10:16, "This is the covenant I will make with you, with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write it on their minds." Now, when Adam and Eve fell, right away when they bit into that apple, they knew they had sinned against God. Didn't they? How did we know that? What did they do? What did they hid? And what else they do? Disobeyed God. They put some clothes on. They put some leaves. Remember? Why? Then God comes looking for them in the cool of the evening. "Adam, where you at?" Do you think God had to say that? He knew where they were. Adam says, "We're hiding." "Why are you hiding?" "Because we were naked." See, when you get knowledge of sin, your innocence is taken away. And that's what happened to them. They were all day long, no clothes, all this time, living with God, loving on God. Now they're afraid of God. Now they don't know what to do. And that's what we do. When sin starts messing with you, and you start listening to it and you start doing it, then some shame starts coming on. Now you start feeling bad. Psalms 119:11 says, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." That was David again. I want to read you this. This is just a little bit of a... Is this right? Galatians? Yeah. Okay. Galatians 5, starting with verse 1, I think. It says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery in the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have been fallen away from God's grace." You know what he means by that? See, they used to have a covenant with God. And God's people would be circumcised. Men would be circumcised. That means to be set apart. Okay? And this was a outward sign that they were set apart to God. So, Paul's trying to say, if you think that's all it takes, I'm telling you, Christ is what it takes. So, but we will live by the Spirit, eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness of God has promised us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You are running the race so well. Who has held back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who has called you to freedom. This false teaching is like little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am telling you, the Lord, to keep you from believing false teaching. God will judge the person, whosoever he is, who has been confusing you. You know, we were in prison. We went to a prison last weekend, and I told them men there, I said, I was running from the Lord when he wanted me to preach. I said, Lord, you don't want me to preach. The responsibility of being a preacher is. See, when I stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one we're talking about here, he's going to hold me accountable. If I've led any of you astray, that's a big responsibility. So I kept saying, no, Lord, you don't want me. And that's what Paul's saying right here. When people take a teaching and they make it sound good, like circumcision, okay? That's what's going to get you to heaven. That wasn't what's going to get them to heaven. It was believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Where's the cross? Back there. You see? So, when people tell you that you'll get to heaven by being good, you'll get to heaven by, I don't know, whatever it might be, it's Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And everyone who believes in him will be saved. So that's what Paul is saying right here. He's saying, no, don't believe that. Dear brothers and sisters, if you are still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If you are no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one in the world be offended. I wish that those troublemakers who went to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called in to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use the freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, which, watch out, beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just as opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two focuses are continually fighting each other, so you are not free to carry on your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not to be under obligation to the law of Moses. So what he's saying through all that is that we got to let the Spirit lead us and guide us. By the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that's the one we're talking about. That's the one that raises from the dead. That's the one that's going to change us. And so I want to drop down here to verse 19. When you followed the desires of your sinful nature, the results were very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties, and the other sins like these. How many of you guys have been involved in any of that? Maybe a little drunkenness sometime? Wild parties sometime? Huh? He doesn't want us to go after those things. That satisfies the flesh for just a little bit. If you get drunk, what do? You got to get drunk later again, some other time, don't you? Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, because it doesn't last. He says, instead of being drunk with wine, he's saying, be drunk with the Spirit. And this is what I told one guy one time. I said, you'll come home with money in your pocket. You won't have any bruises on you. Huh? Because that's usually what happens when you get drunk, don't it? You might get in fights. Might spend all your check at the bar or whatever. You might lose a lot of other things. You might lose your marriage. You might lose, I don't know. But that's just a few things. But he has a lot of things in here. Like I said, you know, just all the lustful desires of our flesh. God wants us to stay away from that stuff. To live with pure hearts and pure minds. So we don't have to pay the price. Am I right? Amen. Huh? So you don't have to pay the price. See, Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, I want you to live and live abundantly. His plans for you, what does he say? He wants the best for you. He wants you to live his life so that Satan, which is our enemy, do you guys know you got an enemy? If you believe this is the word of God, if you really believe this is the word of God, then you know you have an enemy. Did you ever hear about Job? He had an enemy. And Satan was that enemy. And he would come to God and he would say, well, you just give him to me and let's see what I do with him. Let's see if he'll curse you to your face. He never did. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. And Isaiah 53:3 says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and he was held, and we held him in low esteem. That's talking about Jesus. All his life he knew he was going to die for us. All his life he came here for us. You talk about being betrayed. You talk about being lied about. They called him Satan's son. How would you like that? You're the creator of the world. And you're being called Satan's son. You're God's son. They said he was a liar. How many know why Jesus had to go to the cross? Anybody can say it. Go ahead. Somebody say it. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Huh? For your sins? That's right. But do you know he was on that on the top of the cross, where they had that little paper right there, you know those were his charges? And you know what his charges were? He said, they said, he says he's the king of the Jews. That was a charge. I may know about charges here. Huh? Been charged before? Yeah. Well, that's what Jesus, he said he was the Son of God. And then he said something else. Let me back up. Said he was the king of the Jews. Well, they said he was king of the Jews. And then he said he was the Son of God. That's what took him to the cross. That's why they killed him. And he was innocent of everything. He was innocent. He never did no wrong. What did Jesus do while he was here on earth? He healed people. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. That was Jesus. That's the one that lives inside of us. And I just read you what Revelations 8:11 says. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. You have power to overcome. You do. You got power to overcome. It says in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now you can try to do it on your own, and you'll find out that you ain't strong enough. You try to go up against the devil on your own, he's going to trump you. How many of you lost battles in your life? Jesus is giving you power. Power. You know, he gives you his name, which is above every name. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue confess. He gave you his blood that washes all your sins away. He gives you his word that he holds above everything. So it's like a contract. You say, God, you said this right here. Hallelujah. And God's got to live by that. But sometimes, a lot of times, we're the ones back out of the deal. God ain't going to do nothing for me. Forget it. So we decide we'd rather take the misery. Or we'd rather take the rough road. Weary traveler. We get weary sometimes. Guess he's got something for that too. Isaiah 40. He says he's going to mount you up on wings of eagles. How many ever seen an eagle? I got pictures of eagles. They're beautiful. And you know what an eagle does? When troubles start happening, when it's going to start storming, they go higher and higher and higher and higher. They get above the storm. Before you know it, they're gliding around, just chilling out. Ooh, that's kind of nice. Look how blue it is up here, you know. It's beautiful. And that's what God can do for you. He can rise you above your situation. He can mount you up with these wings of eagles. I found out something else about eagles. When eagles go up towards the sun, sometimes they have enemies, not very many, but they have enemies too. Their eyes have these eyelids that flip down and they become like sunglasses. So they can go up into the towards the sun and they lose their enemy. God will give you perfect vision too. If you see it all through his word. See, these days there's compromise. Too much compromise in the house of God. Amen. When you think one sin's greater than the other, or you think sin isn't exactly what God was saying, or I can sin and I can ask for forgiveness right away. You can. God's good. He's faithful. He'll forgive you. But there's another word. It's called repenting. That means to turn around and go the other way. It's one thing to sin, to fall. It's another thing to live in sin. to live by your emotions, to live by what you want, what your evil heart wants sometimes. So, but it's up to you. See, Jesus won the victory. He set us free, made us all who accept Him to be sons and daughters of God. 2 Corinthians 6:18. And He says, greater things shall you do. This is what Jesus said. He told His disciples, He said, greater things shall you do. How many believe that? Maybe you don't believe because you've never checked into it. But how many of you can love your enemy? I told this before while I've been here. My dad, he was the worst alcoholic you ever met. And if he was sober, you didn't want to be around him whatsoever. And I used to be afraid of him. We used to have to go visit him when he was, when he had his time, his visiting time, right? I hated it. I hated to go visit my dad. But I'll tell you what, one day I had to accept Jesus in my life. And I said, Lord, He was dealing with me because I had some unforgiveness in my heart. I hadn't forgiven my dad for all the stuff he had done to my mom or to our family, right? And the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me said, hey, forgive your dad. What am I going to forgive him for? He don't deserve it. He said, you didn't deserve it, but I forgave you. I said, oh, that one hurt. So I said, okay. So I asked God to forgive my dad. Guess what happened? After I forgave him, I no longer feared him. Do you know why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. Remember I told you I feared him? I didn't fear him one bit. Because guess what forgiveness does for you? It sets you free.
Hallelujah.
It sets me free. Huh? And when I start I forgave him, I could go around him. I didn't care if he was drunk. I didn't care if he was sober. I didn't care nothing. Because Jesus' love had replaced the fear that I had in my heart. And one day, on a fall day, we went to Texas to visit him. Me and my brother. We went out to the junkyard. He had a 57 Chevy. We went out to get a part for it. And the Lord said, ask him. I said, ask him what? Give him the invitation. I knew what he meant. Ask him if he wants to receive Jesus. So I went to my dad. I said, hey, Pops, you know Jesus? I said, yeah. He's on the cross in the church. Every time he'd go by a church, he'd do the sign of the cross, which was cool. But he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know Jesus personally. He knew Jesus died on the cross, but he didn't know Jesus personally. I said, you want to accept him in your heart? Get rid of all that ugly you got? I didn't say that, but I said, do you want to accept Jesus in your heart? He goes, I don't know. Well, we can do it right here, Dad. There ain't nobody around. He says, okay. In the middle of a junkyard. He accepted Jesus. He accepted Jesus. He turned his life around. Jesus took a hold of him and cleaned him up. The same person I feared. The same person I couldn't stand. The same person I hated. That same person Jesus took forgiveness and washed it all away. So, I'm here to tell you that Jesus can change your life. He can change everyone in this room. He can change this world. your world, your influence of people. God created you for a purpose. Everybody asks themselves, what were we created for? What were we created for? What were you created for? Marvin, what were you created for?
Love God.
Love God.
Love people.
Bam, what were you created for?
For you.
Yes. Booker, what was you created for?
To worship.
To worship.
Amen.
What was you created for, brother?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was.
Amen.
To follow him. To learn of his words.
Mm-hmm.
To share with others.
Amen.
What he had done.
The Bible says that we were created to glorify God. The Great Commission. Glorify God. Glorify Him. You know, all creation glorifies Him. All creation worships Him. You see the trees, their arms are going like this. The birds are singing songs in the morning. The sun comes up because God said. The moon comes up at night to be a light at night. Huh? It's amazing. And let's say you say, well, I don't know who God is and I don't want to know who God is. Just look at creation. It will testify of Him. It will testify of Him. So, we went into prison. I said, this here is my sword. I said, I can't believe they let me in here with this. Because they don't let you have weapons in prison. But this is a weapon of our warfare. It is the sword of the Spirit. If you go in Ephesians 6, it says that God has given us a helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, a belt of truth. He put shoes on your feet, sod with the preparation of the gospel. He gave you a shield to hold against any enemy that comes against you. It will extinguish every fiery dart that comes after you. But you got to stand behind it. You can't let Satan get the advantage on you. And he gave us a weapon. This is the only weapon that I believe you have. Prayer is a weapon too. But he said, this is the sword of the Spirit. It'll cut through the very asunder to the bone and the marrow. He'll cut all the way down to the very essence of who you are. And David knew God. He knew Him very well. And he trusted God. He trusted God at His word. He's seen Him help Him take out a lion and a bear, didn't he? And now he was facing a giant. He wasn't scared. Perfect love cast out all fear. He loved God, and God is perfect. So I just want to tell you tonight, don't let anything deter you from the Word of God. Don't compromise your walk. Don't let people whisper in your ears. Just like Paul says, don't let them just tell you that it's circumcision. Don't live by your feelings. Don't live by what you just want to do. Live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because it's power. And if you put this together with His blood, and you put it together with His Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, all of heaven is backing you. If you ever had an army to back you, all of heaven is backing you if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. But if you're not, guess what's coming against you? All of hell. And every demon in hell hates you so much, it hates every bit of you, wants to rob, kill, and destroy you. Like Jesus said, I come to give life and life more abundantly. So don't fall for no lies. Check it out with the truth. You said you believe this is the Word of God. Everybody here said that they believe this is the Word of God. The Word of God. So, looks like I just made it, huh? That 3 minutes ago. Look at that. See, God's getting better. I'm getting better. So I used to go way over, didn't I, Pam? She knows. She knows I love talking. That's what God gave me. What you going to do? You're going to use what you got, right? Look at Howard. Look at the food he made tonight. Wasn't that great?
Yes.
Thank you, Howard. Now he's using what he got. Huh? God just wants you to use what you got. What he's given you. What talent. What gifts. It's up to you. You want to pick it up? You want to use it for good? Good. You want to use it for evil? Won't be good. So I just want to close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for being here tonight. If I got in the way, Lord, I'm sorry. I just wanted to hand off what you have got for us. Because before it comes to anybody, Lord, you go through me, you deal with me. If I have any sin in my life, if I have anything going on in my life that's not of you, Lord. Lord, I pray for everyone here tonight, Lord, that you will strengthen them, that you will give them, Lord, what they have need of, Lord, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, whatever, Father, I ask you to meet them right here, right now. If it's unbelief, I ask you to help them with their unbelief. But Lord, that your word will stand no matter what. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will always be around. I thank you, Lord. Many times people have tried to get rid of your word, Father. Had tried to burn it up, try to get rid of it, stomp it out. But Lord, you won't let it happen. So Lord, I just give you praise and honor for this word that's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I ask you, Lord, to help each and every one of us in our daily walks with you. If they're struggling with whatever they're struggling with, I ask you to give them strength, Lord. And I give you thanks and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.